Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the morning show with hosts Phil Huff and Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Phil. How was your weekend and your Christmas?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Cooked a big turkey dinner, had a few friends over, got to play in the snow. So what could be better than that?
That's right. I had my first introduction to snowshoeing this weekend. That's been fun. I'm looking forward to doing more of it.
Yeah, yeah. Did you tramp a course down for your dog?
I did that, but his legs are about 3 inches long, so there will be more tramping.
Now, I'm picturing tiny snowshoes on his paws. Is that what you do?
I think I could order those. Maybe I'll have to look that up on the internet.
Well, we have a fun show this morning. We've got a couple of different guests. During the first half of the show, we're going to be talking with the folks from Project 7B. And then later in the show, we're going to be talking with a person from Schweitzer about some of their upcoming events. Julie, do you want to introduce this morning's first half guests?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Our guests this morning who are from, as you've mentioned, Project 7B are Molly O'Reilly. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning, Julie.
It's good to have you here. And Steve Temple, the secretary. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Did I mention, Molly, you're the chairman? I'm sorry if I missed that. Well, this is an interesting nonprofit organization, and I guess I'd like for you to just start by telling us, what is Project B? Let's start with that.
Well, we picked the name Project 7B because we're all familiar with the license plates all around us that say 7B, and we are for Bonner County. We formed because we were concerned that Bonner County was making a lot of changes to its land use process behind the scenes and without a lot of public involvement. And our comprehensive plan had included a lot of public involvement. And these were changes that we felt people should be more involved in.
Yeah, the other thing that we would like to mention is that Project 7B is a nonpartisan group. We don't have any specific policy or regulatory objectives. We simply want to have the residents of the county informed and involved in land use planning. We decided early on when we formed this group to advocate for transparent land use planning and processes and not for any particular policies themselves. And we also want to encourage jurisdictions within the county, government officials, government agencies, non-government organizations to also work together better.
So tell us a little bit more about who Project 7B is, besides, of course, the two of yourselves here in the studio this morning.
We have a steering committee composed of 5 or 6 people. Karen Lamphier from Hope, Jen Del Carlo from the Selly Valley. Steve and I are on it. Susan Drumheller, who's towards the south of the county. Am I missing anyone, Steve?
Carol Curtis and Ken Haig.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what are your own backgrounds that brought you to this nonprofit organization?
Well, I had an interesting career working in management and marketing for both nonprofits and regular businesses, and was active as a citizen and feel that citizens should be involved because that produces outcomes that suit the community better.
I personally have been retired and have lived here in the area for the last 10 years. Really like it here. I live on the lake. And for the last several years, I was on the Planning and Zoning Commission, which gave me an opportunity to see the chances that the public has to have input on how land use codes are changed. And earlier this year, some of those processes were changed that kind of eliminate a lot of public input into that process. So that was a bit concerning to me. So I left the Planning and Zoning Commission, and Molly asked if I'd be interested in helping with this, and I am, simply because I think it's important to have citizen involvement in how their government works.
Yeah, it's important. One thing we didn't ask you about yet, and I think it's important for the listeners to know about, is your mission. What's the mission for Project 7B?
Well, it's pretty simple, and it's twofold. It's to inform and involve residents in constructive public dialogue and land use planning in Bonner County, and to support land use planning based on locally shared values. And then, as Steve says, to facilitate collaboration among governmental agencies, elected officials, non-governmental groups, and the people who live here.
So tell us a little bit about some of the things you're doing to get the public involved.
Well, one thing we've done is set up a website, and as well as a Facebook page. And on those resources, what we're trying to do is put a variety of information on there about upcoming meetings or public hearings that are of interest to people and would be for code changes and things like that. We've also put some information on those sites about land use planning, what it is, why you should care. Our website is www.project7b.org, and our Facebook page, just search for Project 7B, and it will come up.
Yeah, good. So if I'm understanding it correctly, you really just want to raise awareness, let people understand that some of the ways that we're looking at land use planning are not as open as they used to be, and you're all concerned about that.
That, and to make sure that people do take opportunities to be involved, that they know those opportunities are there, and that they feel empowered to become involved, to speak up, to attend meetings when it's something they think they care about.
So you're not looking at any particular ideological edge. It isn't a protest. It's about engagement?
Absolutely. Yes, we think everybody should be involved and everybody should come to the table. And we know that we're in a county that's got some political divisiveness, and way better that that should be heard before changes are made and be taken into account, and that our elected officials should be responsive to the full spectrum of viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. And who are you reaching out to? Homeowners, businesses, just everybody?
Yes, we're trying to reach out to everyone. One of the things that I observed in my time on the Planning and Zoning Commission is that the public involvement when we talked about code changes was usually pretty small. And it was always the same people that came to listen to those. And one of the things I observed is that when those people came, voiced their opinions, it did have an impact on the way that you make decisions. And even if it didn't, and if it didn't, the decision didn't go the way that most people wanted it to go, at least they felt they'd been heard. And I think most people really just want to be heard if they object to the direction things are going. And one of the things we would like to do is like we say, is inform and involve. Get people informed about what's going on and what the issues are, and then get involved. We don't advocate for a specific outcome. Really, we just want people to be involved because that is the best way to shape the county in the direction that you want. And if you don't get involved, you have a lot less opportunity to do that.
That's right, and we may have covered this to some degree, but I'd like to hear why you all are particularly the most interested in this subject, why you're personally interested.
Why am I interested? I live in Bonner County and the city of Sandpoint because I care about this area. I think it's an area of astonishing natural resources, great beauty. It clearly, from the farmers market, I've learned that it's an important agricultural area. We've got timber resources, very clean water. There are a number of things that are important to all our lives. And where I lived before, I became active and learned I could make a difference. And when I saw the county appearing to go in directions that excluded people, it seemed important to me that folks have the opportunity to speak up and be heard on what they cared about.
Yeah, offer input. Steve, how about you?
Well, in my case, I worked for Chevron for 30 years and traveled around the world quite a bit. My wife and I lived overseas and worked there for 12 years. 5 years in Brazil and 7 years in Southeast Asia. I've personally been to and worked in 60 countries around the world, and so I have seen what lousy planning looks like. If you do not plan well, you gradually become a third world country. I live here because my grandparents were here. I used to come here as a child all the time. I love the place. I like the lake. I would hate to see it start to look like the suburbs of Sao Paulo, Brazil. And if you don't plan for it, it may take a long time, but you gradually get there.
Are you finding there's some common values, some shared outcomes that people have?
Yes. That's for us is the really good news. We were fortunate to be funded when we started to retain the University of Utah's Environmental Dispute Resolution Center to do a situation assessment. And let me detour just slightly to explain a little bit about that before I go into what we've learned so that people will understand how we know it and what it really means. And they have found in their work with communities around the West that the first thing to do is to find out what the whole spectrum of political and opinion leaders in an area are thinking, what values they share, what points of disagreement they have, and what they would like to see happen. And so in-depth interviews were conducted with about 30 leaders in Bonner County, and we submitted a much larger list, but it really covered a variety of spectrums, politically, business-wise, nonprofit, blah, blah, blah. And these interviews showed a number of shared values that we are encouraged can be used to build on.
And can I interrupt for just a moment? What kinds of leaders did you interview? Was it like political leaders, business leaders?
We didn't. And in fact, we on the Project 7B Steering Committee don't know who was interviewed. We do know that we sent a really fine list that went from politically the far right to the left, business leaders, elected officials, because we know that to, at least to some extent they represent us, planners, because they have some background in land use planning.
Developers, landowners, things like that. But as Molly said, we don't know who was interviewed because we gave the list to a professional interviewer and planner in Utah who then conducted the interviews. And to this day, all of those responses are anonymous to us. We don't want to know who they are. They tend to be better responses that way.
Yeah. And anonymous surveys on topics like that usually yield the most direct, honest results.
Right. People can really say what they think and not worry about it come crashing back on them. Yes.
Continue.
All right. Well, people generally agreed on the following priorities: to preserve and enhance community character and cohesion, to make Bonner County a place where people in all stages of life can afford to live, work, and play, to foster and invest in building a vibrant economy, to preserve and enhance the county's rural character, to protect the county's water quality, lakes, and other water bodies, to preserve the county's green space, natural beauty, and opportunities for recreation and hunting, to develop in a thoughtful, intelligent, orderly, and responsible way, balance private property rights with community concerns, make government efficient, effective, and transparent. So those were general areas of agreement.
So the situation analysis has been completed, and you've had some interesting results. Mm-hmm. How do you take that and implement them into the process, the what 7B's vision is, but also the planning processes?
We are taking our results to the 9 municipalities in Bonner County, and we focused a little bit in this conversation on the county, but the municipalities are really important. And as we have the resources to do so and the connections to do so, our Facebook page and our website will inform people when city councils meet, when planning and zoning commissions meet, when public hearings are going to be held, et cetera, throughout the county in the municipalities as well as the county itself. So we're spending time with municipalities, answering questions, getting their feedback on what they believe, and we're also inviting them to a workshop where our facilitator will explore with them the possibilities for collaboration in the future, because we see this as a potential.
So if you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And this morning on The Morning Show, we're talking with Molly O'Reilly and Steve Temple from Project 7B. Molly, let's pick it up with that workshop. When is that happening? Is that open to the public?
No, it's by invitation, and there won't be any majority of decision makers from any jurisdiction that would be making decisions there. So we as a nonprofit can have that. And again, we will be offering the elected officials and some of the business leaders in our community the opportunity to explore whether they really do want to collaborate. Again, we aren't trying to drive outcomes. We are trying to help the stakeholders in our community decide whether they really want to act on what they said they cared about.
Well, transparency, is that one outcome you'd like to see, though? Or is it fair for me to say that would be a goal of 7B, Project 7B?
Excuse me. Yes, it is. The workshop that we're talking about would be held sometime in early February, and as Molly mentioned, it'd be by invitation. And it's mostly the people who were interviewed and other similar type community and government leaders we would have there. But the biggest issue that we want is to drive that collaboration and at least have the conversation. We're not trying to drive an outcome. And in fact, it's entirely possible that there may be no outcome. That just is entirely possible. But what we would like to do is to get those people together, get them in a room. The meeting or the workshop would be professionally facilitated to hopefully drive some order and some results. And if the decision is made to do something, we'd be delighted. And if the decision is made to do nothing, then we'll regroup and decide what we do from there. But yes, transparency is a big issue. And as we've said, our main goal is to inform and involve the residents of the county in how their land use decisions are made.
I'll circle back to the municipal meetings that have been going on. You've had a couple of them so far, and how would you describe the outcomes? Were people happy or satisfied? Did it seem like you were going to add members, volunteers, et cetera?
I think it depends on the municipality. I addressed two that are on the east end of our county, and one was kind of a little isolationist community, and they will send somebody to the workshop, but you know, they're not so sure about it. And the other was a little more open to, yeah, we'd really like to be part of things. So it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be interesting, and it will be a diversity of opinions, even if we hadn't intended that.
It does sound fun.
And I think Steve has been to one or two as well.
Yes, I've been to one over on the west side of the county where the city was quite supportive. And I think just observing what we've seen is that the municipalities, their readiness and supportiveness depends on how much conflict they've had with the county in the recent past. And
so there's the values and outcomes that the survey shows that people hold in common. There's an encouragement for public participation and better information to the community leaders. What are some of the issues that those leaders will grapple with that they can use this information on?
Well, some of the things that were sources of friction that we noticed were the limits on property rights and basically the conflict between my right to do what I want with my property and my personal responsibility to my neighbors in the community. And where does that line fall? And that there's a wide variety of opinions on that particular subject. Perspectives on the inevitability and desirability of countywide growth. People have differences of opinion on, one, whether they would like growth or not, and if they do, how is it managed? And perspectives on economic development were also changes. A lot of people obviously talk about they'd like to have affordable housing, just not in my neighborhood. So we see that, lots of that around. And we've also noticed that there's some fairly strong political leanings in both directions in the county. But we find that the closer you get to these local issues, the less conflict you tend to have on those kinds of issues. Political ideology tends to end at your fence. So we'll see. But those were the things where we noticed conflict.
You mentioned that people are interested in, freedom to exercise their own form of land use. But was there also concern about protecting their lands a little bit too? Or was it mostly just wanting to preserve their rights? Did you hear much on that?
Yes, we did. And there are a lot of people who believe that more strongly that it's my property and I'll do what I want with it. And the people who would defend that position tend to say that those types of people are generally responsible and will protect the natural resources we have around here, protect the water, things like that. And there are people on the other end of the spectrum that say, well, we've observed that that's not always the case, and there's always the exceptions, and those tend to be a problem. So just a simple fact that having a zoning code is a limit on private property rights. And the real question is how much farther should you go? And so that's really been an issue. And I think that there is a wide degree of spectrum there on what people believe. And there's also a lot of difference on what people think a responsible landowner will do on their own as opposed to being regulated. So that's a wide area for conflict.
Seems so. I think that's true everywhere, but here particularly. I'm just wondering, I know you all are interested, and it's a relatively small organization at this point, but are you hoping to grow Project 7B into a large organization and just simply have input? What kinds of people would you like to have join?
The main way that we're reaching out to people is through Facebook, and we'd like everybody in the county to like our Facebook page and to be aware of the things we post about upcoming meetings. As there seem to be important issues, we'll try and lay those out. We may link it to our website if the issue is complicated enough. And we have been trying on our website to present some of the issues that are being discussed and what they really mean, to try to take out the technical language and try to get down to what it means and maybe a couple of viewpoints on it. So people can check us out on our website and see what we are, and that we are neutral and trying just to be informative.
And can you give us the website again?
Yeah, the website is www.project7b.org. And just for everybody's information, that situation assessment is available on that website. So it's open to the public. Anybody can read it.
So I'm curious, this is sounds like a great process. Is this something that you guys dreamed up in the living room one day, or has this been dealt with elsewhere successfully? Are there success stories from other counties?
When we were forming, we reached out around Idaho in particular to try to find out what had worked elsewhere, if anything. And the one that we found that was most successful is the Salmon Valley Stewardship in Lemhi County in Salmon, Idaho. And they started about 10 years ago with land use planning, a raging contentious issue, and things going towards the unregulated and without the kind of thought that Steve talked about when he described what he's seen elsewhere. And they've been around for a decade. There are still, of course, a bunch of debates and issues over there, but they're dealt with in a really civilized, citizen-involved way. And they had taken the kind of middle ground that we are. There were groups in other counties in Idaho that had just sort of fought head on against something they didn't like, and they were less successful.
I'm hearing civility is one outcome from the Salmon Valley Stewardship Project. Were there other outcomes? Did they come to a planning and zoning and land use improved situation?
Definitely. Definitely. They their experience was that when people got involved and understood the issues, that it brought out the middle and moderation, that nobody was 100% happy with what happened, but that a middle ground that people could support long-term developed and was preserving their natural resources and also fostering development and a vibrant economy.
Sounds like a good outcome. You know, Phil's going to laugh at me now because I ask this question of almost every guest, but I'm always wondering where people's funding comes from, and I think listeners are interested in that too. You mentioned that your the situation analysis was funded. Tell me who helped out with that.
We were fortunate to get a one-time grant from the LOAR Foundation, and LOAR stands for Livability, Opportunity, Responsibility, which is their approach. And they were happy to help us find out where people in Bonner County stood. And from there, I think we'll be on our own, and we may be fairly small, but our goal will be to keep people informed about what's going on.
So there's a longer-term vision to make this sustainable, at least on some level?
We need to regroup and talk about it. We've accomplished or are in the process of accomplishing the things we set out to do originally. And it will be really good for us individually and as a group to get feedback on what is needed and what is wanted longer term. We're not trying to build an empire here. We want to be a needed resource.
Yeah, and I think ultimately if we were completely successful, we would be unnecessary. And so I think success for us means working ourselves out of a cause. So if we could get to that stage where it becomes sustainable and enough people are involved in the county's business, then there's not much need for us. But I think we, as Molly said, we'll regroup in a couple of months and see where we go from here.
Sounds like a good plan. Well, we just have about a minute left to finish up the interview. Is there anything that you'd like to add, upcoming events or ways you might like folks to get involved? And then finally, your contact info once more.
Well, as far as getting involved, the best way to get involved that we believe is to check our website or Facebook page, and we post upcoming events there that are in the counties or the municipalities around the county that are of interest to land use planning, public hearings, business meetings of the commissioners, etc., where they're discussing those issues. And we'll put those there available so that you can find out where they are, inform yourself, and attend the meetings and make your opinion heard. And again, the website is www.project7b.org, and on Facebook you can search for Project 7B, and that's us.
Yeah, like us, share us, help us get the word out that there are things to be involved in, and you can have impact.
Are there any specific needs you have? Are there things you're trying to fill with expertise or with manpower?
We can always use help gathering information on what's going on and help understanding what things mean so that we can inform people. And the county is probably this year doing a couple of sub-area plans, Selly Valley and kind of Sagal Highway 95 corridor. And as they have workshops on those, people from those areas should really be involved because this could be, depending on the county, the way the county goes, really important for how your area develops. And they may do other ones around the county, and they may make other changes to their comprehensive plans. And a couple of our municipalities are updating their comprehensive plans and making some changes. And As we have the capacity, we will definitely be putting those out on Facebook, and people should get involved in the things that affect their lives.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining us this morning, Molly O'Reilly, Chairman, and Steve Temple, Secretary of Project 7B. I hope things go well, and maybe we'll be able to look for an update from you later in the year, unless you've disappeared because everything went well.
Yeah. Well, before you ride off in the sunset, come back and say a few words to our listeners. They'll want to hear the end of the story.
Okay, right. Thank you. We'd be delighted.
Thank you both for coming in today. We're going to take a short music break. And then after the music break, Julie, who do we have?
Oh, we've got Biz Krismer from Schweitzer going to give us an update on interesting community events happening up at the mountain. Should be a great interview.
Okay, we're going to take a little break with some Greg Brown, Boomtown.
Here come the artists with their intense faces, with their need for money and quiet spaces. They leave New York, they leave L.A., here they are, who knows how long they'll stay. It's a boom town, got another boom town, and it'll boom just as long as the boom has room.
Greg Brown and Boomtown, which I think is pretty much what no one wants to see.
Seemed like the right song for that interview, didn't it? We just finished up with interviewing Molly O'Reilly, who's the chairman, and Steve Temple, secretary of Project 7B. And in case I didn't mention this earlier, you are listening to 88.5 KRFY. That's listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. If you've missed part of the interview this morning, know that you can find us on a podcast later on, and also know that you, if you're out of the area, you can live stream at krfy.org.
And now we are back in the show for the second half, Dig Krismer from Mount Schweitzer.
Yes, good morning. Thanks good morning, for having Dig. Me here.
It's good to have you here. We're going to have an exciting interview because there is a lot going on at Schweitzer, and there's a lot that's related to the community that's great for Sandpoint. But, why don't you tell
first,
us a little?
Well, first, everybody wants to know, it's snowing down here. What's it doing up top?
Snowing. Yes, good, I haven't gotten up to the mountain yet this morning, but when I checked in with my boss this morning, we have 9 inches of new snow in the village, and it is still snowing up there. I guess the visibility is a little limited due to the storm, but that still, he said the snow coverage looks amazing, so it should be pretty fun out there today.
Well, for those of us who've skied at Schweitzer, we understand about limited visibility, right. So that's nothing new. But there is a lot going on, and there's something, I believe it's tomorrow, right? Is there an avalanche?
That's correct. Sunday, during the winter season, our ski patrol and the Idaho, the Panhandle Avalanche Group, we like to do different trainings and help people who are interested in getting into the backcountry to get the education that they need to learn how to use their beacon, to learn more about the probe and the shovel and the equipment that you should, it's obligatory to take with you into the backcountry for safety. So it's really great that they can get together with our professionals and learn. So right. Safety first. Your brain is your most important asset. So it's really good to get that knowledge and carry that with you.
And even once you have it, retraining on that's pretty good
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
That's for sure. Less use of the Avi dog, hopefully, right?
Yeah, we have a new Avi dog actually in the region this year. We're really excited with Jeff, who's joined the Avalanche, the Idaho Panhandle. I always get their name wrong, Jeff. I'm so sorry. But he's also working with us on the patrol at Schweitzer. And so Annie, his Avalanche dog, has joined Chaco as our two Avalanche dogs at the mountain this winter, which is really great. We're pretty excited to have them on board and to watch her work and work with Chaco and train. It's pretty cool.
I think Dexter's envious.
Yeah. My dachshund would not be a good Avalanche dog, but Annie's a lab and she's great. So.
It sounds like an interesting training program for animals. It really does. But beyond that, there's more going on.
Because as we roll through the holidays, right now we have a lot going on in terms of night skiing every night through the holidays, which is great. Just lots of different activities in the restaurants and the shops, things going on for the holidays. And then as we get out of the holiday season, we have Winter Trails Day, which is coming up in early January. And we're really excited about that because that with the Sandpoint Nordic Club gives our community a chance to try different aspects of a winter experience. So cross-country skiing and snowshoeing are awesome, and we have such a fantastic trail system up there. We're really excited to get people out on that too.
And is that a free day?
It is. Through the Nordic Club, we offer free rentals and free trail access at Schweitzer. The Nordic Club, typically, they'll be set up at the roundabout. So as you come up to Schweitzer, there's the area at the roundabout where the big Schweitzer arch sign is. And the Sandpoint Nordic Club will be there offering instruction and some rentals to get out onto those lower trails. Schweitzer itself will be offering free trail access up at the mountain. So if you want to come explore up there,
and
you
again,
can.
What day is that?
January 7th. Yes.
Phil, I describe my cross-country skiing as shuffling, so maybe I had to head up there and get a lesson.
A lesson is always a good thing. And even, again, if you're you think you're pretty good on the mountain as a skier or snowboarder, always getting instruction is helpful because there's, especially with the change in the equipment, the new style of skis, if you haven't upgraded your equipment in years, demo take a lesson, and you'll find that the sport, you know, it'll evolve into a completely new arena, which is awesome.
Those old wood skis and leather bindings are long gone.
Yes, they are long gone. They are long gone.
Oh, you mean the cable bindings should maybe get switched out?
Maybe. I know. It's fun though. Like, I did that myself this year. I decided to go ahead and change and upgrade my equipment, and it's been kind of a learning curve. I've been a telemark skier for over 20 years, and decided to go to the NTN, which is a new binding setup, and so getting used to that has been fun because I still get to do what I love to do on my skis, but finding the sweet spot in my turn and getting used to the new equipment, it makes it fresh again, which, you know, and if you can't afford to get new equipment, rent. Come into the rental shop or the Alpine shop in town, take out some demo skis, try some different boots, just, you know, go have fun with it.
And Dig, are they giving lessons in every kind of Nordic skiing, like classic skate skiing? And
I believe
telemarking?
So, yes. Mm-hmm. Telemark would be more handled through our snow sports school, but on the Nordic Winter Trails Day, classic and skate. Yes.
Yeah, cool.
So,
that's cool.
Definitely.
Well, and it's just a great day to know that you can come up and learn, and you're not going to have to buy the lift ticket or use equipment. It's just a really wonderfully community-oriented
event,
offering.
Yes, definitely. Yes, and there is the information for the event is on Schweitzer.com on our events calendar. So if people want to get some more specifics, they can look at that, or they can get in touch with the Sandpoint Nordic Club.
And this is family-friendly?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we like to get people started young. It feeds that skiing addiction.
For kids of all ages.
That's a win-win,
yes.
I would say.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah. Well, we've heard from other groups, Soul as an example, that youngsters, as many as 60% of youngsters in the county don't get out and understand snow sports. So
It's hard sometimes for me to come to terms with that when we have such a great natural resource. You know, Schweitzer's right there. Something I know that we hopefully are getting the message out, but I'll talk about it now, is that the Idaho Ski Idaho has the fifth grade ski program. So fifth graders, they don't have to live in Idaho, but if they want to ski at any of the resorts in Idaho, can ski for free. So they just need to register through the Ski Idaho fifth grade passport program, and so they can get out on the mountains. So if you have a son or daughter who's looking to ski and they're in the fifth grade, check out that program. You know, it's great at Schweitzer. And if you live out of the area, but you know you're going to be skiing in Idaho, you can still take advantage of that program too.
Any fifth grader?
Any
really?
Fifth grader.
Wow.
They don't need to come up with their class. They can just
come up on their own. Just register mm-hmm. with the program ahead of time so they've got their information.
Mm-hmm. And is it one time or all the whole?
The whole season for fifth graders.
Word?
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great for families.
Very,
really
very
is.
Good for families.
I had no idea. This is why we invite people like you.
So what sometimes else? I have good knowledge. Yes.
That's right. Well, one thing I remember from last year was 7B Day. Has that happened already?
Well, that's a summer event. 7B Sunday is one of our summer events. And then the winter, the event that we do is Community Day.
Got it. That
was in early December, the weekend after we opened. And that's typically, that's such a great day because it's a chance for us to give back. It's $10. The lift tickets were $10, and all of the proceeds go to Bonner Partners in Care and Community Cancer Services. This year, we raised close to $24,000 for those organizations.
Wow.
And it's huge for Schweitzer because we, all of us that live in the town, we work on the mountain, we live in town, we're here, this is where our kids go to school. Sandpoint's an amazing community in that it's not a ski town, it's a real town. And so the fact that we can participate and be a good community partner is wonderful. So
yeah, it seems like it's working. You know, the thing I was thinking of was Toyota Day, actually.
That's coming up. Yes. And Toyota Days, you can drive if you have a Toyota or borrow one from a friend, and you get one free lift ticket when you drive up on Toyota Day.
I would have to say I think that's a community event too when you look around at all the Toyotas in
town.
Yeah,
it's a good thing we don't do Subaru Day, right? Because that could be a whole totally different kettle of fish.
Yeah, you close the mountain down.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be a tough one. Well, what else happens up on the mountain around the holidays and then afterwards?
You know, the holidays is go time for us, obviously. There's so many people in town visiting family and friends. With the weather that we have right now, it's perfect to get up on the mountain and ski. So it really is, it's a fantastic energy up at the mountain right now, especially with the twilight skiing, because that just adds a whole nother element that is so fun. So we're really in the heart of it all right now. This is our busiest time of the year for us at Schweitzer. But after the holidays kind of go, January is a little bit calmer, a little bit quieter. But that then becomes Learn to Ski and Snowboard Month, which is again a national program that Schweitzer participates in. It's a great time for people who live in the area who've never skied or snowboard, or they're kind of like, what is all, why are people so excited about this, to come up and take a lesson for $40. You get a lesson, rentals, and a lift ticket to get out on the mountain and try it. So, or try a different discipline. You know, if you skied for years and you're curious about telemark skiing or curious about snowboarding, this is a great opportunity to try something new.
That's a good deal for people to want to learn something.
Yes.
It really is.
Yes.
Is that done? Does every, so that's a national program?
Yeah, Learn to Ski and Snowboard Month is a national program, and every resort kind of tweaks it accordingly. So Schweitzer, we have that, the beginner package, the Learn to Ski and Snowboard beginner package, and then we also offer a ski for free in three, which is another program that we also offer that starts in January, where it's a series of lessons that gets you really out on the mountain and gets you to progress in the discipline that you've, you know, decided to learn. And then you can qualify to get a free grad pass, which will give you free skiing in the spring.
Wow.
So,
wow.
And again, there's more information about all of those programs on the website. So you can check those out if you're curious or want to be a learner, get up there and try it out.
So it sounds like after the holidays, the town gets its mountain.
That's
back,
right. The basically. Town gets its mountain, which we hope everyone comes up. And what's even, what I love about January too is, you know, that we get a little bit more daylight as we've gotten through the winter solstice. So we're moving into a brighter period of the winter. Something we want to make sure everyone knows too is with the new sky house at the summit of the lodge. I know I talked about that last time I was here, but I just want to get the message out that even if you aren't a skier or a snowboarder, you are welcome to get a foot passenger ticket and come to the sky house and enjoy the view, enjoy a nice meal at the nest, and be with your friends and family kind of up on the mountain and part of the experience. And
I've had a chance to
did you get to get
through
in there?
I gotta tell you, it's a great view and warm, and restrooms.
I know that, I'm so excited about. I know I have kids though, so yeah.
Certainly you have something going on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, yes, we do. We have our New Year's Eve parties, which have already sold out. They sold out pretty early on because it is a awesome event up on the mountain. I think there may still be some spots left in the tubing sessions, and there might be some left in for the tween party, but the big Stella New Year's Eve party in Taps is sold out. So if you want to read about it, you can read about it online. But
They can't sign up this year, but in a future year,
exactly,
opportunities for youngsters.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And those events sell out so quickly. So December 1st, they go on sale and they sell out. So.
We're running a little short on time.
Yeah.
Any last-minute items you want to highlight, Dig?
Just that Schweitzer is our community mountain, so come up and enjoy it. And we would love to see everybody try skiing and snowboarding in January and, you know, bring your family up over the holidays. And we're just happy to have everybody around, so...
And if you don't get to it this year, there's next year. And in between, there's huckleberry picking.
There is huckleberry picking. Yes.
Right.
And great mountain biking.
Well, thank you for coming into the studio.
Oh, my pleasure. Dig. Thanks for having me. Hope everyone has a happy holiday and a good new year.
Yeah. And Dig Krismer, marketing manager up at Schweitzer. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Good to see you.
We're going to take a short music break. We're going to listen to the 5-Man Electrical Band with their version of Signs. And then Julie and I will be back with a little bit of community calendar. Everywhere a sign, the 5-Man Electric Band. But that's how you find places, right, Julie?
I think signs are okay, personally, just not too many.
Yeah, yeah, that was a good show. We had Steve Temple and Molly O'Reilly from Project 7B on, and really interesting stuff going on and encouraging local participation.
That's right. And why not? I mean, why not be involved in what's happening in the community? But then after that, we had... Dig Krismer, and we talked about Schweitzer. So when you're not worrying about planning and zoning and land use, get out and go skiing.
So the morning show is always exciting. Tomorrow morning's morning show, Wednesday, December 28th, join hosts Susie Perez and Chris Bessler as they take a look at 2016 in review. Man, 2016, it's gone already.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And so that's 8 a.m. at 88.5 KRFY FM. Then on Thursday, Jack Peterson and Jim Healy will be back in the studio with their morning show. They always have a lot of interesting guests to talk to.
And then next week, we're going to have Friends of Scotchman Peak visiting us, and that's going to be a great show with Sandy Compton and new employee Tyler Chisholm, and should be a good show talking about events, upcoming events, and outdoor activities with Friends of Scotchman.
And if you have a question for any of the scheduled guests coming up on the KRFY Morning Show, give us a call at 265-2992. You can leave a message or email us at krfyradio@gmail.com. That's krfyradio@gmail.com.
That's a new thing for us. I hope you all use that because we will answer your questions as we go over our morning programs. We'll try anyway.
We'll try to answer them. If we can answer them, we will.
If they're answerable.
So speaking of upcoming events in January, there's a benefit fundraiser for KRFY Community Radio and Team Autism 24/7. Viggo Mortensen will be hosting Captain Fantastic. He'll have a whole evening where he'll host the local premiere of his new movie. Also, hang around afterwards for questions and answers. That's Friday, January 13th, and Saturday, January 14th at the Panada Theater. Tickets are available, and I think they're still available. It will sell out, but they're available right now at Eichardt's Pub, Evans Brothers Coffee, the Panada Theater, or right here at the KRFY station.
You are going to want to get tickets to that and do it quickly because we're selling blocks of tickets and they are selling quickly.
What else do we have on the events calendar, Julie?
We've got a lot of things going on in this week between Christmas and New Year's. One of them that those of us are interested in radio would be on the 27th. That's today, Amateur Radio, Bonner County, ARS races. It's a meeting tonight at 5:30 in the admin building of Bonner County. If you have questions about that or you want to attend, I mentioned it's at 5:30 p.m. You can call 661-203-0335. Beyond that, we've got Winter Holidays Family Activity. You can bring the family to the Sandpoint Library. That's, as we all know, at 1407 Cedar Street. Be a fun time learning about the holidays, such as Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, I suppose Christmas, for those of us who don't know about that. For more info, you can call 208-263-6930 and go for extension 1211. Oh, there's we've talked about this because Dig told us, but the 28th is the free avalanche awareness seminar. That's the Selkirk Powder Company and Alpine Shop teaming up to host a seminar on avalanche awareness. That'll be Ken Barrett, chief guide of the Selkirk Powder, Kevin Davis, and they're going to discuss weather influences, basically how to deal with avalanche awareness. That program begins 5 p.m. in the Schweitzer Village Alpine Shop and lasts for about an hour. It's free. Beyond that, we've got the Winter Holidays. Start over, Julie. Beyond that, we've already been beyond that, but on the 31st, you might want to plan on attending An Affair to Remember, Make It a New Year to Remember with Chocolate, Champagne, plus Cary Grant and Deborah Kerr in An Affair to Remember. That's at 8 p.m. Doors are opening at 7:30 at the Panada, 300 North First. Enjoy a screening of this beautiful movie. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a good one. Lasting quality can be seen in other movies that have followed. Tickets are available in advance at panada.org. You can learn more on the Sandpoint Movies page.
And we have a big event on Sunday.
We sure do.
It's the start of a new year.
That's a biggie.
2017, it's on the horizon. It looks like 2016 is going to go out with a little bit of snow today. They say it's 100% chance of snow, which I believe since it's snowing outside. Decreasing to 40% tonight, a high today of 31 degrees, an overnight low of 26. Tomorrow, we expect some scattered snow showers and then partly sunny in the afternoon, a high of 31 degrees Fahrenheit, a low of 22.
That's the day to get out.
It is. If you're going to do anything without the snow falling down, it looks like Thursday we have a 50% chance of snow, and that high is hanging right in there just below freezing. So you know if they're wrong by a degree or two, that snow turns to slush.
Sounds like snizzle, Phil.
Yeah. Thursday night, more snow on the way, 70% chance of snow, and it drops into the 20s. And so basically it's going to be snowing at night and partly snowing in the day and warming temperatures, but not quite above freezing.
That's Northern Idaho. Phil, what are you doing on New Year's Eve?
We stay at home. We stay at home with the cats and snuggle up on the couch and watch movies.
That's my game plan, too.
It's nice and quiet. It's a good way to ease into the new year.
That's right.
Well, we're going to go out with music, a little bit of music by George Michael. For most of you listening, you're probably aware that, unfortunately, he left us way too early this weekend, unexpectedly. And he did a duet several years ago with Dion Estes called Heaven Help Me, which seems very appropriate right now.
Sure does. Have a great week, everyone.